हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Keshi Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 1, Adhikarna 2, Anucheda 4. Okay. After explaining the place, action, and sarup, the form is described. The devotees see that form of the Purusha with devotional eyes. Adabhra Chakshusha. This thing, because this adabhra means with devotional eyes. There's a music, the magicians, at least in the West, they abracadabra.
Yeah.
It is said, Purusha sa pra prarta, no parta, bhaktya labhyas tvananyaya. The Supreme Lord is attained by pure bhakti, O Arjuna, Bhagavad Gita 8.22. His thousands of feet are explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8.24. The complexion of his form derided an emerald mountain. His yellow cloth derided a cloud circling that mountain at sunset. His crown derided the shining mountain peak. His garlands derided the jewels, streams, herbs, and flowers decorating the mountain. His arms derided the bamboos growing on the upper portion of the mountain, and his feet derided the trees growing at its base. As a sandalwood tree is decorated with fragrant flowers and branches, the Lord's body was decorated with valuable jewels and pearls. As a sandalwood tree spreads its branches everywhere, the Lord spreads his arms all over the universe. As the tree's root cannot be seen, the Lord's origin cannot be understood. As a sandalwood tree is the king of trees, the Lord protects the world by his great power. As a sandalwood tree is covered with many snakes, so the Lord's shoulders were touched by the hoods of Ananta. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8.29. Here is, I think, I was discussing with someone the other day, that because here you'll see, sometimes it says blue sapphire, like Prabhupada will say blue sapphire and like that. But in the, I think in the Sanskrit, then a blue sapphire is a variety of emerald. It's considered the same stone, just you get different colors. Just like you get the yellow sapphire, you get the blue sapphire, the emeralds are green, but you also get varieties of green. Not even sure that it's not a red one, but it's rare, but whatever. So that's why sometimes you see then when it gets translated just directly as emerald. But we, you know, emerald will be the green of that variety of stone, rather than the blue. Brahma, so the Lord is the friend of Ananta, just as Malaya Mountain shelters the king of snakes. He was embraced by the Garbhodak Ocean, just as that mountain is covered with streams. And he wore crowns like a thousand mountain pinnacles of gold, holding on his form the Kostuba gem, just as the Malaya Mountain has one shining peak and contains mines full of jewels. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8.30. From the lake navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, thousand-headed person, sprang a lotus on which Brahma was generated. Atri, the son of Lord Brahma, was as qualified as his father. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.1.42.
Hmm?
What did I say? I said 1942.
No, it's
1941. Oh, okay. Then I was remembering 1942. Okay. 241, not. Okay. Yes. So here they've established, because you've established that the sarup is non-different, just you have a difference of form and location according to the particular function or pastime or the devotees that he's interacting with. So then, with that, then it also mentions here you can see all this with the eyes of devotion, not with logic. Right? So that's why logicians can't understand, well, how is it he's this and then he's that and all these different things and, you know. So the aspect here is that with that devotion, then you're able to appreciate all these and see it's just different pastimes of Krishna. It's the same person. He's just doing all these different pastimes for his, you know, for his pleasure. And in that, so doing, he interacts with all the devotees. Right? So within the material world, those who are devotees, then these wonderful pastimes attract their mind. And at the same time, they have particular functions. So even those who are not devotees, they're taken care of in their material efforts. The forms are all wonderful. Even though they're everywhere, you know, and all that, they're still very wonderful. Priti, having explained the forms, actions, and locations of the Purusha, next is completeness as the source and shelter of the jivas and material nature is emphasized. Anucheda 5. The completeness of this form, Gavadaksha Vishnu, is described. Etan nana vataranam nidhanam bijam avyayam yasyam sham sena sridjyante deve tiryan naradayaha. He is the indestructible source of various avatars. By his expansions as Prakriti and Jiva, the Lord creates the devatas, animals, and human beings. Right? So everything being Krishna means that means to create all these animals and all these different things. Then you have to have a Prakriti in the Jivas. Right? Because the Prakriti will make up the forms, the situations they're in, but the actual living entities, that will be the Jivas. So that combination, then you get all the different elements that are there in the material world. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The Purusha, after creating innumerable universes in the Mahatattva, entered in each of them as the second Purusha, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. When he saw that within the universe there was only darkness and space, without a resting place, he filled half of the universe with water from his own perspiration and laid himself down on the same water. This water is called Garbhodaka. Then, from his navel, the stem of the lotus flower sprouted, and on the flower petals, the birth of Brahma, or the master engineer of the universal plan, took place. Brahma became the engineer of the universe, and the Lord himself took charge of the maintenance of the universe as Vishnu. Brahma was generated from Rajaguna, a Prakriti, or the mode of passion in nature, and Vishnu became the Lord of the mode of goodness. See, right, so Brahma and Shiva are generated from, that means at least Brahma is generated from this. Then Krishna, he takes charge of that. Well, then Rudra then will have that aspect, a feature of being connected with. So Vishnu is the only one that's completely transcendental, never touched by these. So he deals with the modes through his energy. Well, the other ones, then their energy is this, or they're controlling it, even though it's not. Like with Shiva, then he's controlling that Aditya Shakti. But Brahma, then he's working with the mode of passion. He takes control of it. It means he's empowered to do that. Vishnu, being transcendental to all modes, is always aloof from material affection. This has already been explained. From Brahma, there is Rudra, Shiva, who is in charge of the mode of ignorance or darkness. He destroys the whole creation by the will of the Lord. Therefore, all three, namely Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, are incarnations of the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. From Brahma, the other demigods like Daksha, Marichi, Manu, and many others became incarnated to generate living entities within the universe. This Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is glorified in the Vedas in the hymns of Garbhash Stuti, which begins with the description of the Lord as having thousands of heads, etc. The Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the Lord of the universe, and although he appears to be lying within the universe, he is always transcendental. This also has already been explained. The Vishnu, who is the plenary portion of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, is the supersoul of the universal life, and he is known as the maintainer of the universe, or Kiradakshaya Vishnu. So, the three features of the original Purusha are thus understood, and all the incarnations within the universe are emanations from this Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.5 purports. I was taking from this. This form situated within the universe, a tat, is the source, nidhanam, the eternal shelter, just as the sun is the shelter of rays or the ocean is the shelter of lakes. He is without decay, avyayam. He is the seed, bijam, the place of birth for the avatars and even of the universe. Sarvasambhadini. By expansions of the Lord, possessor of shaktis, in the form of prakriti and the pure jiva as a whole, samasti jiva, devatas, animals, and humans are created. It is said that the combination of these two things bring about creation. Neither material nature nor the soul who tries to enjoy her are ever born. Yet all living bodies come into being when these two combine, pervaded by you, just as bubbles form where water and air join with akash. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.31.
This Karnam, the author tries to establish that
Bhagavan and Yes. Because that's the important thing, is that you don't see too much difference. Because sometimes you see is without proper realization, you make them as very separate. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all Vishnu like that, only Krishna and this and that. But it's the same person. Right? He's just taking different forms. That's all. And so, those, as I mentioned, different forms, different activities, and different actions, and different location. And so, that's what makes the difference. But otherwise, there isn't any difference. So these point out is because, see, is performing his pastimes based on pure, unalloyed devotion. That will interest Krishna fully. Therefore, in Braj, you see his personality with all its attributes are manifest 100%. Right? In that balance that goes with that 100%. Just like, let us say, you're making a preparation with very few ingredients. Right? So then those ingredients can be more prominent. Let's say there's two or three ingredients. But let us say you're making a preparation that has like 20 ingredients. Now that becomes more and more exact, the different... I mean, of course, the other has to be in proper proportion, but now the balance becomes much more technical. So therefore, Krishna and Braj, everything is there, whatever there is, but it's all in its perfect balance, in its perfect place, in its perfect situation. But now, as he expands out from here, and he's dealing with grandeur, you know, in the spiritual world, or he's dealing with the material creation, then he manifests less of that, all those qualities, because you don't require them all. It's like a simpler preparation where a few things become very prominent, like Nrisingadeva, then his anger is the prominent one. Right? You know, or Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, about how he's the origin of the material energy and all these kind of aspects like that. So it just becomes, it's the same person, it's just that these are less. So when you say Braja Krishna doesn't leave Vrindavan, it means Krishna in that mood doesn't leave Vrindavan. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, then you see is that, and why is that? Because of the living entities, because of the energies. Because they have a particular relationship with Krishna, and they reciprocate with him, so he manifests in that way. Right, so maintain the material energy, since everything happens by his will, then, as it's mentioned, it's you know, just a very, very fractional portion of his potency. you know, a billionth of a billionth. So that means a billionth of a billionth is going into one quarter of creation. And then the balance is going into the three quarters. But within that, we see the predominance is then in Braj. Like that. So each one of these is unlimited, but there's still a proportion. Does that make sense? So then it's understood is that in that mood, he doesn't leave. So for the Dwarkavasis, then he's a Tadikatna Rupa. Right? But for the Brajvasis, if they go, when they go to Kurukshetra, they're dealing with Braja Krishna. So just like Lord Chaitanya is in Puri, and he's dealing with Jagannath as Braja Krishna. You know, before meeting Lord Chaitanya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is dealing with him as the Supreme Brahman. Other devotees are the Lord of Dwarka. That's why we see then in the getting Madhavatiti, Bhakti Janani, Madhava Lata, Madhavendra Puri, the play by Rupa Goswami.
Lalita
Madhava. Lalita Madhava. Okay. Have the letters, just wrong order. Right? So, in Lalita Madhava, maybe that's why I couldn't get it, because I was trying to start it with an M. Lalita Madhava. Then, there, the devotees there are dealing with Krishna from Vrindavan, and he's dealing with them as the residents of Vrindavan, but in the and that atmosphere and environment and pastime of Dwarka. So that's the thing, is that you take Radharani to Dwarka, she still sees Braja Krishna. That's the point. It's like Lord Chaitanya, wherever he goes, that's Vrindavan. That's the statement. The holy name is Krishna. Because otherwise, if that's the case, then when you chant Hare Krishna, if you're not in Mayapur Vrindavan, then which name do you have? You know, especially if you're in New York, you know, down in the Lower East Side, it's like that, then what do we have? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that so therefore you don't make the distinction, so much distinction, but at the same time, as you know what location, what activity and that is being formed, therefore you know what qualities, and then he's called by those positions. That's why it's also the jivas are Krishna, but they're that aspect of his energy, and they function in that capacity. So, does that make sense? Then it becomes much easier. Otherwise, we try to, through knowledge and logic, try to establish everything and feeling that if we have that, we have everything. You know, it's just like that discussion on, is Srup Damodara Lalita Devi? Is she Vishaka Devi? Or is she Arjuna? Right? And so Prabhupada's point was is that Srup Damodara is always assisting Lord Chaitanya in those night pastimes of his absorption in the mood of Radharani and separation from Krishna. And we see that Lalita and Vishaka, they take part in that and assist in that way. Right? And so therefore, then we can conclude that As Lalita and Vishaka are expansions of Radharani for helping in that pastime, then Srup Damodara is an expansion of Radharani to assist Lord Chaitanya in that aspect of the pastime. And that's the essential point, because that's what it's for. So if we argue over, it's just like a knife is for cutting the vegetables. But let's say we have a knife, we have a European-shaped, you know, how you say, kitchen knife, and we have a Japanese-shaped kitchen knife. And so we're arguing over whether it's this or whether it's that, rather than using it to cut the sabjis. So the point is it cuts sabjis, it doesn't matter what it is. We know it's a knife. So that's been identified. So therefore, Subhadamadhar has been identified as an expansion of Radharani for taking part in these pastimes. Therefore, that's what's going on. And then if we're only arguing, no, it has to be this or it has to be that, then we've missed the point. Does that make sense? Like, just heard this morning, Srila Prabhupada is talking in class in Mayapur. I think it's, I can't remember if it's 76 or 77. You know, at the festival. So then he's making the point that all living entities are nitya-siddha to begin with. Then they fall from that position. So the thing is we know you can't fall from prema. And you know that the living entity can't start off as conditioned. Otherwise, that's fallen. So, and that they are tatastha, which is translated as marginal, that means something that's in between prema and mundane. So therefore, on the spiritual platform, you know, not having been conditioned, so it's nitya siddha, but, you know, and siddha means perfection. That's always it says, one comes to perfection, that means to the point of siddha, that means, how you say it? That platform, that marginal platform of Baba. Right? We never hear prema referred to as siddha. You know, there's Vastu Siddhi, there's Srup Siddhi. You know, there's that aspect of that, where you gain something that, but the prema is never referred to in that way. So perfection means that transcendental position. So all living entities start there. Then, by whatever method, then they take an interest in the material energy, and then they come under that control. And so then from there, then they go back to their position. So that's why in the spiritual world, once one comes back to that position, no one makes a distinction between who's a nitya siddha, a sadhana siddha, a kripa siddha. Because that's the original position, and they go back to that. And in that, because it's marginal, you can't remain in that way. That's also the position of the jiva. They have to take shelter of a superior energy. In other words, the energy that they expand from, or the reflection of that energy they expand from. And so in doing that, then they get out of the material consciousness and take shelter of the internal potency, so they come to prema. Does that make sense? So it's inherent in the jiva, like that. It's just a matter of whether it's manifest. Does that make sense? Does it make sense?
Yeah. It's just that, I think because of the laws of nature, people nowadays discuss it a lot. I guess they're just bored from discussing COVID and Taliban. So they get into those kind of things. And the presence of prema and jiva is discussed from three points. The first point is an obvious physical point.
Mm-hmm.
It's like salt in the seawater,
mm-hmm.
which is we can't see it,
mm-hmm.
but just by empirical analysis.
Mm-hmm.
We figured out it is there. Mm-hmm. It's actually physically present there,
mm-hmm.
the salt and the seawater. Then the second example, the metaphysical, which is more subtle. I tried to explain it to devotees. It's quite difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Satkaryavad. Is it cause and effect?
Mm-hmm.
The effect is always in the cause, even it's not manifested.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it will never be manifested, it is there.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be on that level to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third explanation is a presence of as a purpose. I'm not sure what's the term in English. Предназначение, как сказать? Yeah, purpose means, I'll try to explain, purpose means what you made for.
Mm-hmm. It means just like borscht is made to put shmita in. Yeah.
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 So the purpose is, the purpose of a seed, it's to grow into the
tree.
But you can't see, if you break the seed,
you won't see the tree.
You won't see the tree.
Yeah.
It isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So these three levels of presence, that is the explanation. So if we look for physical presence, it isn't there, we can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
If we look for metaphysical, it's difficult to understand. But as you explained, that the purpose of a living entity is to serve the Lord. That's mm-hmm. what it made for.
Mm-hmm.
That's that, yeah. That's everything.
Mm-hmm.
So like that, we can see the presence of Prema in the Jiva.
Mm.
That's why Mahaprabhu says, I nanda dunuja kinkaram. Otherwise, why would he say, I'm your eternal servant?
Yeah.
What does it mean, eternal?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have any meaning if it has beginning.
Yeah. No, it's always there. It's just, the material means the spiritual platform has no beginning, no end. Material has a beginning and an end. So it's just a distraction in the natural, progression of the jiva in their relationship with the Lord. So for others, then it's naturally just getting, deeper and deeper, but for some they can get distracted before they go back to continuing normally. So it's there. It's also Satchitananda. It goes back to that. Sarup, Krishna Sarup is Satchitananda. Everything comes from that. That's why everything's in three. That's why even here there's three positions. Because the jiva is Satchit and Ananda. Right? So you're going to have what they are. It means they are a particle of Krishna's energy. And so that's, and in there they have 78% the same qualities. And so that's going to be your first one. The sat aspect, your chit's going to be that aspect of the, what you're talking about, that the thing of the karyavad aspect, and the ananda is going to be that the eternal servants of Krishna. That's their purpose. Right? At the same time, as you can also say, is by nature their servant and all this. But the difference here is that one is that is the generation of the ananda from that service, and the other is just the position that they are servant. Right, and they do service. So that's why in these three, you can get various features of this three positions, of the three stations. So that's why sometimes it seems contradictory, but it's the same thing, because Satchitananda, it's not like you have a line there, and if somebody, bumps into you or something, you crack, between the sat and the chit, like that. And, what's wrong with you? I always crack between the chit and ananda, it's all these features are there, but because everything's coming from these three, therefore then there's so many features that are there. And like we said, you're looking at it from the samasthi, the vyasthi, these kind of things, it can change positions, it can even seem to reverse. But one is talking in experience, one is talking in dynamic, one is talking in your static, or your status, your existence. So one's existential, one's the action, and one is the experience. But the point is for those things to connect together, there has to be a common thing. Otherwise, why would the elements of sat be there in chit? And then from that sat and chit, you get something that is there that then produces ananda. So unless there's a connection between them, there's a sangati, then you can't. It's also naturally wouldn't fit together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then with that, you see that there is the sameness and there's the difference. If there's not a sameness, they won't work together. But if there's not a difference, then how will they work together? something works because it's different from something else. But unless it's the same, it can't work in the same area. Like a kitchen can work for cooking, because cooking and kitchen have similar aspects. But cooking and kitchen are different. You know? So that's where it gets into. It's that subtlety there. That's what makes it difficult to understand it. That's revealed by the Lord through service, through devotion. It's not through analytics. That's why it becomes foolish to think it's because of academic prowess that one can understand. You know. So in these things, it's thought, oh, this person is you know, very well developed in the contemporary academic community, therefore their explanation will be the best. It may be that they're very well read, they know all the different things, they have a good memory, they analyze, they can put things together nicely, but without the devotion they won't understand, because there's people way more intelligent than them that have studied the same thing and can't understand it. So it's only the devotional side, it has nothing to do with their academic, just the presentation maybe. Very, very nice and systematic. But that has nothing to do with the actuality of that. It's only through devotion. It's not because of that that they're able to explain it. You know? Because you see, it's basically this discussion and the difference of opinion is going on amongst those who are scholars. So if it was just being a scholar qualified you, then they would all say the same thing. So therefore, it's only devotion. Without the devotion, it won't make any clarity. And the point of devotion is, it's about pleasing Krishna. And that's the main thing. Because it all comes down to, as you said, you know, the purpose. It comes down to Krishna's icha, his desire. And that desire is for interaction with the living entities, based on that element of service. He has that submission. Like, he is God. He is the control. He's the source of everything. But he likes that others are in control of him. Prabhupada gives the example. That's why, even though he's the controller of everyone and the source of everything and all strength, but he still likes that someone else is controlling him. Therefore, the cowherd boys, you know, he has to carry them around, or Mother Yashoda is controlling him, tying him up, or the gopis are controlling. And you see that within those three rasas. That's why sometimes it's discussed Braja. Its uniqueness is the emphasis on these three rasas. It has all five, but the emphasis is here. Well, in Dwarka it has these, but then, you know, the servitorship becomes prominent, and these others are there, but they don't have as much control. And then in Vaikuntha you remove those three, and then you only have the servitorship and Shanta. So that aspect is inherent in Krishna, and because it's there, it's inherent in us. Therefore, since he likes to serve, it's inherent in us that we serve. He has that submission, therefore it's there. That's why then Sri Damodar, it's interesting, because Prabhupada also was giving in the class that he was talking about the Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya conversation. And so one time he was in one discussion of that, then Prabhupada was mentioning that, you know, the Varnashram was brought up, it's an important part, you follow it, but Lord Chaitanya's point was it's not the ultimate, so do you know something more? In other words, you know this, is there more? And so that was an earlier discussion. The later discussion, then he's talking about how this is brought up, and, you know, Lord Chaitanya is saying it's external. External means it's not going to the highest platform, because it means internal, and then within that where it goes. But it was interesting in that is that he also mentioned that one of the points he made was Sarva Dharma Parityaja. And Lord Chaitanya said that's also external, because then it's just you're surrendering all the religious aspects and just connecting it to Krishna. But the point is, why are you doing that? If it's not in the devotion, the depth of the devotion and all that. Otherwise, you know, he gave the example as people are worshipping Krishna. They go to him, they bring a flower and all that. And then, you know, after giving the flower, then they pray, you know, I have 10,000 rupees, please make that into, you know, a crore. You know, like that. And so, but it's not, he says that's not devotion because they're wanting something from it. So it's not they're just doing it to please Krishna. Now we know that Bhagavatam says better that you're going to Krishna than to a demigod or no one at all, just thinking on your own, because at least you're coming closer to the position that Krishna is the source of all these things, that it will all work that way. But if we're talking about pure devotion, we know it's not that. So that's why then so many of the, we see of those individuals who in their homes they worship Rama or Krishna or Vishnu, but it's basically on the position of what they will gain from that worship. We don't call that specifically that would be our standard of devotion. So you wouldn't say that they've come to that point of Shraddha that we talk about, Shraddha, Sarvasanga, Bhajana, Kriya. So it's not that they don't have some faith, they're not associating in that, but it hasn't come to the point where that faith, that devotion to Krishna is actually the standard. So the point being here is that devotees may say, oh, hey, Varnashram, that's external, but are they saying Sarva Dharma Parityaja is external? No. That surrender they're expecting. Like someone was telling me the other day about, when initiation is taken and there's, you know, the 16 rounds and the four regulative principles and surrender to the GBC. You know? And the emphasis on Uma. That means surrender. So if that's external and that was kicked out along with, you know, the Varnashram, then why isn't that kicked out? I mean, if Varnashram is kicked out, you have to accept they're both together. You know, it just means that it's about pleasing Krishna. So that's the difficulty, is that unless there is that following in the footsteps of the acharyas, then it doesn't matter how much intelligence is applied. It can't be understood. And so, since that's the technical points, the mechanics of it aren't the essential point, they can be helpful as you advance. But when you take the position, oh no, but if prema is not, you know, I didn't have prema before and then I fell from that, then, you know, why should I endeavor for prema now? It's kind of like, but if you're a neophyte, what's the importance? You can't understand it. Two, it has no importance for you. You know, that's like going, you know, you're out in the ocean and then you want to know is, you know, what is this rope? You know, you throw a rope off the boat. You're out in the middle of the ocean. You know, what this rope is made from? Is that, you know, is it organic? Is it free range? You know, like that, wasn't it? You know, like that kind of thing, like that. And, you know, and who's throwing it down? What's his character? And just going on and on and on and on and all this and that. And, you know, how do you know that it's so deep that I can't just stand up? Or, you know, all these different things. How do you know I belong on the land? You know, maybe I belong in the water. Maybe, you know, it's like... So that's the difficulty, is that if we get into those things, it's absolutely useless for her. That's why it's said. When he asked, what is the nature of the jiva? And this is to Ramananda Rai. No, is that Ramananda? No, Sanatana Goswami. Jiva Surupoi Krishna Tadas. That's the first thing he said. So he starts with that topmost aspect that you mentioned. The purpose of the jiva is service. That's his nature. And so then, that's the thing. And then you have another shloka by Lord Chaitanya, the Prabhupada quoted. I don't remember that. I've heard the verse. It's one of those very familiar verses, but there's something nitya siddha, something kebunoi or something like that.
Nitya siddha Krishna prema satya kabunoi shravanadi shuddha chitta kariyodaya.
Yes, the Prabhupada mentioned it. So he's saying everyone starts there, but you still have to get from there. That's the point. You have the choice. Are you going to go into prema, which is the natural thing? That's where it naturally goes. Or are you not? You know, it's just like if I bring you, how you say, a can of San Marzano tomatoes and a packet of pasta and a bunch of basil, what's natural here?
It's a hard choice.
Hard choice, yeah. Really hard choice. Now, is the discussion, well, was this ever combined together to make the preparation that you're talking about? And if it wasn't, then it can't be put together. It will never be put together. It just can't happen, and I can't do it, and all these things, because it's all about me, because I'm the center of the universe. Because that's ultimately what it comes down to. The point is, that's what you do with those ingredients. So the whole point is the jiva is there. And because otherwise, if you were on prema and you fall, that makes you a real idiot. Now, if you're on the platform of transcendental platform, but hadn't reached there, and it's the marginal, so it could go this way or that way, and you fell down, that's unfortunate. But it can happen because of the name of marginal. But what they want to say is we're not marginal, or we're material. They can't accept the position as marginal, and it's their fault. So the whole discussion is who to blame and whether I have to actually endeavor for it, or Krishna should just give it to me. That's the bottom line. It doesn't. I can't see what would be underlying the argument on this. You know, unless it's just something like you said, people are bored from COVID and they just got to talk about something. But I've seen this go for years. I remember one devotee discussing this, you know, I don't know how many hours would have gone into it, over 3 years, and finally then he agreed, okay, what you're saying makes sense. But he was making this position because of this point, I can't function with the devotees in this capacity. Right? And so when I, you know, brought it out that he could understand the position, and he agreed with it. And he could see, yes, this makes sense. This does. This answers all the problems. But there's an underlying thing. So he wants to cultivate that distinction between he can't work with these devotees. So then he said, you say like this, but these guys don't say like this. Therefore, I still can't you know get involved. So you can see this. Why? In 3 years. You know, and the guy is really smart. So that's the difficulty, is that's why it's not a recommended as a major conversation. If you can understand how it works, then great. But if you're going to argue it, it's one thing to understand how that works, so therefore, how can I be... So from here is that since our purpose is serving Krishna, if we're not serving Krishna, that's why we're in Maya. You know, our inherent nature is to see everything in context of Krishna, because Krishna sees everything in context of himself. So therefore, by the Satkaryavad, that would be the natural thing for us, right? To see it in that connection. So if we're seeing things different from Krishna, then that's going to also keep us away from Krishna. And if we don't recognize the qualities we have, they come from Krishna, they don't come from the material energy or from some philosophy or political status, then we also can get distracted. So that's the thing, because of our political status, social, economic statuses, then we make differences and try to say that, oh, this is not for us. You know, we're not, you know, these 50 qualities of Krishna, because it's natural in the nature. We're from this particular location, therefore we have another set of qualities that don't match. Therefore, we can't do any of those activities that I'm not interested in, that are of, how you say, recommended. So that's a misunderstanding from definitions you're giving in Sambandha. And the other one, that is inherent in all that, that's the Abhideya. They're not catching that. And then the Prayojana, they won't disagree that they're not servant, but they don't want to be servant. Because otherwise, if that's inherent, you're servant, and who are you going to serve? You want to serve material nature, or you want to serve Krishna? You serve here, you can see, you have, you know, unlimited examples of what happens. You go in history, it's not just right now. It's not because of the COVID, everything's a problem. You get rid of the COVID, and then suddenly the butterflies come out, and the sun's shining, and the rainbows are there, and, you know, fields of flowers, and people skipping, and, you know, all that kind of stuff comes up. So it's always been like that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, 3,000 years ago, you know, smart guy, you know, qualified guy, Socrates, and who gets rid of him, right? You know, the bureaucrats. Then you have you go bring it up another 1,000 years, so, you know, like that, and you have a guy like Caesar, right? Good administrator, good things like that, and all things, you know, like that. And that's who gets rid of them? The bureaucrats. Then you have, you know, some guy come along and, you know, preach some spiritual stuff, this and that, and how you can, you know, reestablish a relationship with God, and that, and then they got rid of him also. So between the bureaucrats and the intellectuals and the smartest. Gotta throw in the smartest. So like this, it's just, it's constantly going on. And it's always been there. So it's nothing new. So it's just a matter of appreciating the level that you have to discuss. If we want to discuss it, if we have to get our answers on the socio-political platform, you won't get. Because it's incomplete. It's only a second level of content. You can only answer the questions on the fifth level. And you can only get to the fifth level through devotion. You can get to the fourth by intellectualism. But it'll only be partial. And the third will also only be partial. So only with devotion can the third and fourth be complete that you can use them properly in devotional service. That's called sadhana bhakti. Does that work? Or?
Yeah. The difficulty, as you explain, is that people demand answers without having the maturity
to
understand.
Yes, yes. Well, Prabhupada says first deserve, then desire. But their thing is, no, I deserve to have my desires fulfilled. But you see it across the board in everything. So in the philosophy, they're doing this, on the social platform, on the political platform, the economic platform. It's all the same thing. It's because I want, I deserve. Your wings are back.
You also.
I do also. Do I have both or only one? He's got both. Did you see? Did you show? Yeah.
I didn't see first. Huh? I didn't understand first.
Oh, okay. That's the thing. It has to be revealed. You know,
it's, you have to be able to know.
Yeah, you know, it's a matter of, you know.
Yeah, because if you look for prema, mm-hmm, in the jiva as a physical presence, he isn't there.
But the point is you have ananda. What does that mean? Because in the spiritual world, that means it's prema.
Yeah.
But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that the natural compassion that's in the jiva. Here's one way you can say you want it physical. The natural compassion is in the jiva, because the six qualities are inherent in the jiva. That's just, you know, that there. You have the 50, those are ways of interaction. You have these are inherent in the jiva. That compassion is one of them. And so that compassion, when it's applied in a relationship through those qualities to Krishna, that manifests as prema. When the same thing towards the devotees on the spiritual platform, that's called friendship. When you come into the material world, then you're going to see is that then it will be divided into three. Towards the devotees, there'll be the friendship. Towards, you know, to the Supreme Lord, there'll be that worship. You know, that's madhyama. So you see the distinction nicely. To the Lord, then there's that, you know, worship of affection. You know, that will mature into prema. The devotees, there's that friendship. To those who are innocent, then there's compassion. And then for those who are inimical, then there's indifference. So in the material world, it takes three features. But in the spiritual world, it only has those two features. You know, Krishna and the devotees. And so from that, you also get the principle, because, you know, of threes, it's going to be senior, junior, and equals. So even in the pastimes, those who are equal, those who are senior, those who are junior. Just like the gopis, they're going to be seen in the context of the social scene, but they're going to be junior, because they're all young, right? They're all in their teens, right? Well, then Mother Jashoda's, you know, associates, they're all going to be equals, right? Means those who have that parental rasa, because they're older, they have children in that category. Then there's going to be those who are above them, you know, like Radharani's, you know, mother and father. There's going to be that kind of thing, or Purnamasi, you know, that they're going to be seen as senior. So you have a few of them, you know, like Grandfather Bhishma. You know, you're always going to have. So it's just the way things work. It's always this aspect of three. You know, so if we have one, there's the one principle, but it always has three aspects. If we want to say there's two, that's where we get in the material world, is the dichotomy says this or that. No, but there's also the thing. In the, otherwise, this and that, why are you even arguing? Because if there's nothing that connects them, why are you arguing? You know, like that. You know, is this phone going to take the pictures, or is this wall going to take the pictures? Or the floor? Is the floor going to take the pictures? You know? You know, do we need the floor? Because, you know, whoa, we have the camera. You know, we don't. The camera does the thing, but without the floor, how does the stand? But where is it connected with the stand? So the stand connects to the floor and to that. So there's always that aspect. So that's the abhideya means when you apply it. If you have these three, they exist. So the sambandha is there. You can talk about it, but it's in the abhideya that you actually put them together. And that then requires a attitude. So ours is service to Krishna. Therefore, then we put it all together and stand it up there and use it for Krishna. And then the result comes that, you know, then it gets the effect that we're expecting, and that gives the particular experience. So then from that, then, you know, it's taking its video, and from that people can get the experience, or, you know, and the result that they want of being able to take part. And does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. So it's due to a lack of understanding. So in these discussions, you'll see technical points being made, but you'll generally never see them put together in the context of sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. Because the modern doesn't approach, the inductive doesn't approach that way. That's a deductive knowledge. Therefore, then that problem comes up. You know, who talks in that way? You know? So that's the difficulty, is that they're not discussing it according to how Lord Chaitanya says the philosophy is. You know, I think there's, I always thought there was only one, but I think it's like three or four, maybe five times he specifically mentions how the sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana is what's being described in the Vedas. Like that. So it's in a few conversations. I only knew one before, but it's in, you know, so many of his conversations, and sometimes in one conversation it might come up twice. So the point is that's how everything's explained. When we say Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, the philosophy based on how Lord Chaitanya gave the ontology of it's based on sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. And in the Upanishads, you know, chitta chitteshwara sadhana sadhya, that's sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. So that's what the Vedas are explaining. But these discussions don't necessarily bring these into play. And so then how much can they have an actual basis? Because if you don't use sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana, when are you using the samasthi aspect? Like I mentioned here, the sum total of all the living entities, that's what's being applied in this verse. Not the specific individual. That's the modes of nature taking care of, you know, in super soul where they are. But that the living entities are combined with, that's the sum total. Just like Kustuba, that's the sum total of jivas, that's the samasti. But we're trying to look at it from my position, rather than, okay, but you are part of this. Yeah. Does that make sense? You know, it's like the car rolls off the, out of the factory. And then we say, you know, has it ever driven before? Has it ever been in a race before? Has it ever stopped at a stoplight before? And if not, then it can never be done and it can't be new. And why would anybody, you know, they get those same. It's just, from what I can see, it means it comes up because, you know, basically all everything comes back to eating, sleeping, mating, defending, right? So this becomes fear. Conspiracies are fear. So all the conspiracies, it's just fearing. It's just a way to bring that out, and oh, it's not actually this and that. So what is reality? Is I'm insecure. Who am I? Like this. It's just another taste. You know, so it's, you know, better to watch a scary movie or something. You know what I'm saying?
Some people really like, you know, horror movies.
Yeah, I can't figure that out. I mean, when I was young, I didn't mind it. I remember seeing birds, Alfred Hitchcock's birds. You know, it's a really...
Oh, Hitchcock?
Yeah, really freaky. We were down at the ocean. I had a friend there that had a huge place. You know, almost like a warehouse. But it was a house, but it had this huge thing because they used to run a halfway house for people who had gotten out of something, I don't know what, and then they stayed there until they got it together and then they went back out. Downstairs they live in, and it's like a lot of those beach places where you have the whole front of the building is just glass, ceiling to floor. And it was night, there was a storm, the windows are rattling, and we're watching that. Perfectly fine, you know. I couldn't do it now.
More experience. Probably more experience.
Yeah, you figure out, no, this is stupid, you know, like that. Because the point is you don't have to worry about it, you know. It's like, you know, a bug. Their life is a horror movie, you know, at every moment. Or a bird, you know, Prabhupada mentions, the bird comes down and looks around, and then this, and then looks around. Because at any moment, anything can catch you. I mean, like, anything. You know? So, that's the whole thing. The conspiracy theories, then that also has the thing of fearing. That's where the taste comes. You know? Like that. And so it's a strong taste because of that. Just like eating, sleeping, mating, a strong taste. So, fearing is also. So that's what I'm saying. It's coming down to something mundane. It's not this pure spiritual search and everything like that. Otherwise, why the argument? Why the misgiving? Why doubt? Okay. Someone has to doubt. Fine. You explain it, then they move on. But no, these are misgivings. They don't want it to be that way because of some other purpose. So in other words, the purpose is... The discussion, the purpose is something other than I'm servant of Krishna and I act in the way to please Krishna. I give up all other things. That's the purpose.
Yeah. This is also a big difficulty nowadays, because even people themselves, they don't understand why they act this way or that way. Because mm-hmm. consciously they can explain it. Mm-hmm. But subconsciously, it's a completely different underlying. Mm. And they don't know. That's why they go to therapy, this, mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. and maybe not even that. Because, like you explained, it is fear and insecurity that everything is really bad here. Mm-hmm. So what about spiritual world? I don't belong there. Or do I belong there? And
the Can whole, I trust it? Or
yeah, but the whole discussion is like that. But that's on a subconscious level.
Mm.
And it's really deep, really deep. Because yeah. like you say, people for years, they're unable to give up their misgivings, mm-hmm. even after, you know, trying so many times.
Yeah. So that's why we can see is from that, then one can learn or what, you know, what one can benefit by appreciating that we ourselves can't get rid of it. Because it's like the, you know, Prabhupada gives the example of you go into somebody's, you know, yard and they have a big dog. So that big dog comes out, you have trouble. You know, that you're going to be controlled by the dog. But if the owner comes and calls the dog, you have no problem. So this thing that, no, I'm going to take care of the dog. No, you're not. You're going to surrender to Krishna. He'll take care of the dog. That's how it works. So that means the only solution is more hearing and chanting, associating with devotees, hearing Bhagavatam, you know, how you say, living in the Dham, worshipping the deity, taking prasad, worshipping Tulsi. You know, these activities, more of that, more understanding how everything you have connects to Krishna. That's why all these technical things are there. But instead of discussing those technical things, we want to discuss some things on a level above our pay grade. and argue over that, when the stuff that you, is there for you to understand so you can appreciate these things, we think we're, oh, that's below us. But you want to apply logic and all that, get into second canto, third canto. I mean, that's what it's for. It's how to engage the intellect in the Lord's service. That's what's being shown there. And therefore, how all the activities, everything gets connected. You know, that's what it's for. But I rare you ever hear discussions on that. It's always on something that's not for argument. That's what we have to argue over. You know, just because we can. You know, something you're supposed to. No, I don't want to do. This one you're not supposed to. No, I have to have it. You know, it's just like a kid. You can't have this. No, I got to have that. You know.
For most of the devotees, as far as I know, second and third canto, they just skip.
Yeah.
Because first canto, you know, it's about Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
It's really
Bhagavatam and Mahabharata.
Yeah, it's really classic.
Because if you think in that first canto, it means from, what is it? 3, 4, 5, from the sixth chapter. Some appreciate the second chapter because it has some nice verses in the first.
Yeah.
And some of the storyline that's there, but not the philosophy. But as soon as you get into the other, then it becomes...
Yeah, but then the second and the third, that's the philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Satkaryavada at the end of the third canto. And that, I never heard anybody discusses that.
Yeah. So that's the point. If the whole point is about scholarship, why not that? That's what you do. You know? Try to make that accessible. You're trying to make it something either you understand, others are going to understand. Why not make that accessible? It is, but you know, you put in your effort to help others appreciate what's there. But instead, we're just arguing over stuff that we won't understand. That would be like third graders arguing over, you know, whether it's string theory or dark matter. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, what do they got to do? You know, they're still having problems remembering the time statements. You know, like that. So that's the difficulty, is that stick to what you can do. It's revealed. So that's the point. But it's thought, no, by my intellect I can figure it out. No, it's not like that. So, but what to do? So the whole point is the only solution is more kirtan, more prashads, you know, so, you know, which is a good solution, no? Good kirtan, nice prashad, you know, who can complain? So there should be more of it. So if they want, you know, rather than, you know, one day or a couple of days of the Harinam festivals, or this, they should just every day should be a festival. Right? Then everybody will be busy on talking about Holova or something. Something important.
I think that's why we have still many devotees. Because our solutions are good.
Yeah, yes. Our solutions are good. Good solution. Yeah, Prabhupada said, chanting, dancing, taking a shot. You don't get much better than that. Viti, having concluded the discussion on the current Adhikarana by stating that Purusha forms are the source of all other avatars, next Adhikarana commences to elucidate on the Leela avatars of the Lord. So now it's established, because the point is, if we're going to get into Leela avatars, you always have to remember that they come from Krishna. So to do that, you've established the Purusha forms, because from that, then the avatars are coming from Kiradaksha Vishnu. So if you've established the Purusha is not different from Krishna, then you can expand that all the Leela avatars are coming from Krishna. They're all Krishna. Like that. Does that make sense? Otherwise, how do you get close? That's the whole idea of everything is Krishna. You see everything connected to Krishna. That's his Prabhupada's point. The Nitya Siddha never forgets Krishna. So he sees everything connected to Krishna. That's what we're trying to get to. But that's introduced that in the second canto and third cantos, how those things are there, how it works, how the qualities are coming the same. You know, that's what's introduced there. And then from there, then you build on that. You know, and then how to see your situation and connect, you know, from that. Now, what I'm dealing with, how does that all connect to Krishna? How do we use it for Krishna in my position? And then that just naturally matures until you have the Brajbasis, that everything they see, they just see how nicely the cowherd boys are thinking the forest is. That's where we can take Krishna and have nice pastimes. We can run and play and shout and all that. Mother Yashoda's thinking, you know, our house is here in the middle of this nice forest. From that, you know, then we get all the facilities that are there that we can take care of Krishna. It's nice for Krishna. We can get the facilities for taking Krishna, the cows that go out and eat grass, then we get the nice milk for Krishna. So it's a perfect situation, right? You see, Nanda Baba and the elders were worried where to live, because they were originally in Gokul, then they moved over to Vrindavan, like that, because the situation. So for them, the forest is where it's situation. For the cowherd boys, it doesn't matter. They can be in any of the 12 forests as long as they can play with Krishna. And then the gopis, they see it as, you know, a nice place to... They'll look at the forest. Where can you have those pastimes? Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that they're seeing everything connected to Krishna, but also in specifically according to their service to Krishna. And so we learn that by, okay, in this situation, in this barn or this ashram, therefore I would use these elements to serve Krishna, while someone else in another barn or ashram would use it differently. Because you have to get used to that, that's there. Otherwise, if everybody has to do it exactly the way you're doing it, then how are you going to work in Vrindavan? You start to pick up the food. Everyone's got to pick up the food. You know, like a, you know, I'm talking about like a Buddhist sadhana here or something, you know. So, yeah. Adhikarana 3. Enumeration of the Leela avatars and vibhutis. Anucheda 6 to 27. Adhikarana Prakashika. Having proven that the Sarupa, the Purusha forms, are the same as Bhagavan, oneness of all other expansions and Bhagavan's original forms established in the current Adhikarana. This Adhikarana enumerates the various Leela avatars and vibhutis of the Supreme Lord along with his original form, as explained by Srila Sutta Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3, 6-27. The author specifies the purpose of appearance of each avatar and also states the distinction among the different Leela avatars. Probably be good to put in the translation there of the 1.3. It's so many. Oh, okay.
The whole discussion about...
So it's each one is... Each Adhikarana is on one verse.
No, Maharaj. This Adhikarana is... Leela avatars' description start from 6th verse to 27th verse.
Yes, but these are also Adhikarana 6 to 27.
Yeah.
Also. So I'm saying it's one verse.
Anuchedas. Almost like that.
Yeah. That's very far out. Explain. The author specifies the purpose of appearance of each avatar and also states the distinction among the different Leela avatars. The form such as Narada, Kumaras, and Prithu belongs to the Avesha group, whereas most of the other forms, such as Machi, Kurma, etc., belong to the Tadamsa group category of the Tadekatma Rupa group. But avatars such as Nisringa and Rama belong to the Tadsama category of the Tadekatma Rupa, and the forms of Krishna and Balaram belong to the Swayam Rupa. Okay, that breaks it down even nicer.
This extra...
Tadamsa and Tadsama.
Yes,
ma'am. Okay. So the Tad Amsha is Tadekatma, but the Tad Amsha is also in Tadekatma.
Yes, ma'am.
The independent form is called Swayam Rupa. The Tadekatma Rupa is not different from Swayam Rupa, but is dependent on it. Avesha Rupa is a special jiva, whom the Lord has given powers. There are two types of Tadekatma Rupa, Tadsama and Tadamsa. Footnote 4. Tadsama is synonymous to vilas forms listed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Tadamsa is synonymous to swamsa forms. Okay, so that we can, you should put those into, like we have that paper that has the thing. Yeah. You should put this Tadsama and Tadamsa, you know, in the wording of the category.
Actually, that paper is in the next page.
The papers and you have the terms in there?
I didn't add those.
Come on, it's right here. The whole page is about this.
I was not like exactly sure when I finally I wrote that point. When I
the end. But then when you do that, yes. Go back and you do this like that. Okay, but now we know.
Yes, sir.
You know, like the scientists. Before we thought, now we know. There are three types of avesha, empowered with bhakti, jnana, or kriya. That's very interesting. We have that. That's also on the chart.
Why is bhakti kriya?
Hmm?
Can I understand bhakti? Understand kriya?
Means you have empowered with bhakti, jnana, or kriya. That the avesha, they're bringing out the things, the devotionally they're bringing that out. They're jivas. In other words, the aveshas are all jivas.
I understand. I just don't understand how it comes to, how one can see, who's the example.
Bhakti is Narada Muni, jnana is the Kumaras, and kriya is the Prithu.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that's what we mentioned before.
So it's like karma.
Yeah, so it might be also worthwhile in there, put bhakti, Narada, jnana, yes. Kumaras, and Pitu, like that. Anything you can make any kind of that satsang, I mean, you know, that sangati.
Yes.
Yeah, it, do it like that because it takes so much association with it. You know, it's like it said in advertisement. If in your journey you see 7 billboards on the same topic, by the 7th one, now you're interested. It takes 7 times to get interested. That's why you see them again and again and again. You know, all over the place, so that you come across it. I remember there was one very far out. It was really affected. It was back in the, I remember seeing it in the 50s, but I think it was into the 60s. There was a company called Burma Shave. They were kind of shaving cream. They didn't have one big billboard. They'd have a small one that just said a very small thing. And but they would be very, you know, every, you know, I say like 50 feet, or that would be like every 15, 20 meters, there would be a small thing. It would be like as if you took what they want to say and spread it out over, you know, 8-10 little billboards. And so you go along and you see the one, you'd read that, okay. And then you see the next one, and then the next one, and then by the time you add, it had wrapped all of them up into one thing, and then the final one was Burmese, you know, like that. So it really caught your attention because that principle, they did it so many times that in one advertisement, you would already, you know, were interested. You know, what is this? You know, so if you're 5 years old, you're not so interested in shaving cream, so, you know, it never turned into actual making the effort to get, but I can still, of all advertisements, that's the only ones I can really remember something unique about. You know, other than, you know, from the, what are called Budapest Airport to the city, you know, so many ones like that, but they just, again and again, after a while, you go, oh, okay, what is that? No? It's a lot, isn't
That's
it?
That's the worst advertisement I've seen in my life. It's like super gross.
That's another thing. But I'm just saying, it catches your attention because again and again and again like that.
I think the worst advertisements are in Calcutta. So many things they write there in Bangla.
Yeah, but you can't see anything. So
you can't read. You cannot
So nothing.
So much stuff and that repeats itself and they're all over the place.
Yeah. And that's it. It makes you angry, and then you go out and buy it. So the whole point is the repetition. So it's not that, we explained it in the Adhikarana Prakashika. Every time it comes up, you just put it in a footnote or put it in a parenthesis or like that. Because the more we hear it, then, you know, it's just like how many years did it take before us to be comfortable with, you know, what is, what do you call it, Stai Bhav, Vibhav, Anu Bhav, Satvika Bhav, and Sanchari Bhav. And then Sanchari Bhava and
Vyabhichari,
you know, because that was the whole, you know, that was a confusion for, you know, a long time, you know. So just because you hear it again and again, then after a while, it starts to settle into place. So for us, that's the main thing, because we're trying to get that understanding and realization. You know, for intellectuals, they hate that because it's already fed. You know, you want to know, you go back and look at, because that's what they'll do. And so that keeps the interest up, because they're just trying to get the sambandha aspects of it and put it together and speculate how they like. But we're trying to get to the abhidhaya and prayojana. But you have to know the sambandha. So for us, therefore, it mentioned again and again, that's not where we need to overemphasize the work. We want to overemphasize it in manana and nididhyasana. You know, we're going to deal with it with shravana. But for them, that's it. They only deal with shravana, and they only deal with it. Doubts become the impetus for discussion. But clearing of doubts is not their intent. We're trying to clear so you can apply. It's a very different approach.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.